The following program is sponsored by Kit Fox Communications. From the entertainment capital of the world, this is Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Fox, the velvet-voiced vixen, welcoming you to a special Heroes and Villains edition of Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight. In just a little while, we're going to have Phil Proctor of the Firesign Theater weigh in on Heroes and Villains and share a few Hollywood secrets. But right now, we're going to get started with Jennifer Saunders singing I Need a Hero.
Isn't there a white knight upon a fiery steed? Late at night, I toss and I turn and I dream of what I need.
Tonight, I'm delighted to have one of our favorite all-time guests, Phil Proctor, here in the studio with us. You've heard Phil's voice in Pixar movies like Finding Nemo and Monsters, Inc., and on the TV with Rugrats. But he probably is best known as a member of the iconic surreal comedy troupe, the Firesign Theater. Welcome to the show, Phil.
Thank you very much. It's getting crowded in here, all these personae. Yeah, it is amazing. You know, Carolyn, we over the years that we've now known one another and done the show and everything, it is always a constant surprise to me that I actually have some work to talk to you about at my age, you know, and point in life. And that's because in our business, you don't want to retire. It doesn't make any sense. You know, we're having fun doing what we do. And basically, especially if you're doing voiceover work, you know, nobody knows exactly what you look like.
They only know what you sound like. And you can sound like
anybody you want to. You know, so it extends one's career into far beyond the point where it really makes any sense.
Yeah.
You know? And I know that one of the topics of our show, of your show tonight, is about heroes and villains.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, I've actually been playing some villains that have reached, you know, a certain amount of fame among the population. One of them has been a long-running part as Dr. Vidic in Assassin's Creed, which is a very popular interactive game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've done 4 or 5 years in that character. And what's interesting about that is when you do things over a long period of time, the technology evolves, all right? So that now when I go in to do, well, when I first would go in to do it and they wanted to use my face and all my expressions as the basis for the three-dimensional computer modeling, and then they would overlay the face of my character on my face, they would basically set up a camera like this. And this is true of almost all the animation I did at Pixar and Disney and what have you. They'd have a reference camera so that the animator could see what the actor was actually doing when he imbued the character with life, and they could accordingly use that as a guide. It was even the same with the Drunken French Monkey, which I did for 5 years. Did a lot of research for that part, I tell you. Like a lot of wine. But they did the same thing there. In animating the monkey's mouth and his eyes and everything, they would feed off of what I did. Well, they don't use a camera like that anymore. They have this, and it started, I guess, about 3 years ago, a helmet. A helmet with a jaw guard in it. This thing that sticks out in front, and there are sensors in there that capture the movement of one's face.
Wow.
In specific areas, the eyebrows and the eyes and, you know, the flaring of the nostrils and the showing of the teeth and the way the cheeks work and everything. And you go through a series of lines and make a series of expressions, which kind of instructs the computer as to the frame of reference it's going to be capturing. And it captures all these points of movement, translates it instantly into a 3D model of your face, and over that, the animators put the face of the evil Dr. Vidic, over the face of the evil Dr. Proctor. The face of the evil Dr. Vidic. And it's from Montreal. So the guy is French, you know, bring it in, and je parle français avec lui, you know, we talk French together, you know, and we drink wine, and I do the French monkey for him, and he think he's very funny, you know. But anyway, it's this incredible device. Also, years ago when I played Q in a video of Goldfinger that we did, they had little dots that they'd put on. You wear this like wetsuit. And I just, for this character, it was just like a bust shot that they did. And they put all these little dots all over your face at these points of reference, and these dots on the suit, which are built into the suit. And this is motion capture.
Yes.
Which, again, has become extraordinarily sophisticated now. The world of Pi is another example of that,
mm-hmm.
You know. Not the House of Pies. That's something entirely different. But anyway, that's the world that we are operating in right now. And yet the bottom line is still the artist and the acting and the voice work, and how do you imbue something with evil in your voice? You know, and usually you do it by simply dialing it down. You see, an evil person doesn't have to worry about commanding anyone, because they can kill them in an instant any way they want to, anytime they want to. So they're completely in control, you see, even though underneath they're completely out of control. You see, that's the dichotomy. And there is a dichotomy between heroes and villains. I played recently in a show in Florida, which I just got back from 2 weeks ago, actually, called Agatha Christie's BBC Murders. I didn't play any murderers. I played a very wonderful, innocent character, a Cockney character who's a nice father to someone, you know. But we are harboring a criminal. We don't know it. But the nice lady who's staying with us is a criminal, and she's a murderess, and she's mad, you know. But we're totally innocent of that. And then in the other play, I played Pervancini, who is an Italian black marketeer, you know, after the war, in a play called Three Blind Mice, which later became the ur material, the basis for the longest running play, I think, in the history of the world, The Mousetrap, which is still running in the West End in London. I saw it in 1957 with my mom when I was 17 years old, and I saw it again at the age of like 70 in London with my wife, Melinda. And the set is still standing, but it's looking a little shoddy. I think they told me that they just painted the stairs or something. Oh, good idea, you know. And luckily, the same actors I saw in 57 are not treading the boards right now. But I played Mr. Pervancini in that, who is a very suspicious character. Mm. And we don't know if he actually is the murderer or not, but I'm not going to tell you.
Well, that's one of the glories of murder mysteries, is exactly. Anybody can be the villain.
That's right.
And the more innocent they seem.
Yes, the more suspicious they may actually be in
exactly,
your mind.
Exactly, exactly.
And actually that in that particular piece, if you know it, you know that the actual murderer is probably the person you would least suspect to be the murderer. Which is the way it should be, and shows the genius of Agatha Christie, who had an absolutely wicked sense of humor. And just to finish this off, and then I would talk a little bit about her and her understanding of villainy. In the last piece, I play Hercule Poirot.
Ah.
So I'm, of course, a master.
One of my favorites.
Know, master criminologist, you know. Yeah, so a charming, wonderful character. And what is so interesting about the writing of it is that you, as an actor, you must listen even more carefully than you do normally as an actor to everything that's going on. And you must always be, your little gray cells must, as she describes it, must always be alert and working, because you are figuring out what exactly is going on, who is doing what to whom, who is lying, who is telling the truth, and who is ultimately the one who must be arrested before the murder is committed, or punished after the murder is committed. And he has to understand the criminal mind in order to be a master criminologist, you see? So there's this wonderful dichotomy. And I know that with several reviews that we got would say, the material might be a little dated, but the actors play it with such verve that it's totally entertaining and makes up for any deficiencies in the fact that these things were written back in the 50s and the 30s and what have you. But the point of the matter is that she wrote firmly, with her tongue firmly implanted in her cheek. Firmly implanted. She has a wicked sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
And it shows in everything that she writes and the way her characters express themselves. And all that we were really doing was to be honest to her writing. This is a piece which made tour. Agatha Christie's BBC Murders was the first piece that was done as a production of Ruth Eckert Hall. So we opened in Clearwater. We next played, and in a vaudeville theater, 120-year-old vaudeville theater that houses that accommodates 450 people, and that's where we mounted this new iteration of the show with live music and fog machines. When was the last time you saw a radio show with fog machines? Well, you know, this is it. And incredible lighting and live sound effects and Foley and surround sound. The entire theater is equipped with surround sound.
Wonderful.
It's fantastic. Fully costumed.
So it's a radio show, but really it's a stage show.
Yeah, it's a radio show hybrid. And this has been the dream, Zev's dream, because he remembers radio and the power of radio, as so many of us do. And actually, the power of audio theater has been brought forth to a new generation because of all of these wonderful little platforms, you know, the iPod and podcasting and the fact that people can access old-time radio shows now from the golden age of radio with the ease of a computer mm-hmm. or a download onto your iPod or your iPad or your iCrib, if you're really hip, you know. And so books on tape have been just blossoming. So many of my friends are now reading books on tape, and they're wonderful actors, and they're bringing great energy to all of the parts, the heroes and the villains. And this is becoming more and more of a platform. When Melinda and I came back from our month-long sojourn performing in Florida, we were immediately cast in the 200th anniversary live audio presentation of Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen, which is part of the CART, California Artists Radio Theater, created by an incredible force in audio theater named Peggy Weber, who is now in her 80s and who started on the radio show Dragnet when she was like 16 years old. And she wrote the adaptation. She's producing, directing, and casting these wonderful live radio shows. And Samantha Egger plays the lead role. Melinda and I have wonderful parts. I play Mr. Bennett, the father of all the girls and everything. And it's a delightful piece of work, which you eventually will hear on Sirius XM Radio. And if you go to CART, you can eventually also get a CD of it if you want to. But live radio.
Live
radio. Who would have guessed?
Live radio rides again.
Lives. It lives, I tell you.
Stay tuned after the break. We'll have Bad Boy Will Smith and more with Phil Proctor. The Quarter Valley Group's 40-acre equestrian facility is nestled in the hills of the Temecula wine country. We offer a facility that both you and your horse will enjoy. With complete horse care and boarding, miles of adjacent trails, two full-size arenas for training and warm-up, and a caring and knowledgeable staff. Barn and exterior stalls are available, and we offer multi-horse discounts. Horse owners with busy schedules can rest assured that their riding companions are receiving the best in equine care. The ranch is also available as a film location and for special events. For more information, call Dan Parks at 951-265-9674.
You're listening to Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight. Play fresh new music and artist interviews. Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight is heard at midnight Friday in Los Angeles at 1580 a.m. and at 6 p.m. local every Saturday on the KHZTV.com network and always playing at cfoxrocks.com. For videos, after-hours interviews, and features we can't play on the air, check out Carolyn's blog at carolynfoxrocks.com. Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight brings you what's hot in Hollywood on the air and at cfoxrocks.com.
Here's Will Smith with a taste of the Bad Boys theme. With our special in-studio guest, Phil Proctor. One of the villains I wanted to talk to you about, because I know this is coming up, mm-hmm. is you're going to play a villain on the very stylish WCTV show Arrow.
Arrow, yes.
Yeah, Arrow.
It's the mark. Have you seen it? Have you watched it?
I have seen some of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's really well produced. very dark, you know. Mm. It's a Batman character.
Yeah.
From, I think, the Marvel comics, from the same inkwell. And I'm involved in the backstory when the main character, Ali, was hired as a mercenary in the North China Sea. And there's another shadowy mercenary group that he is trying to destroy. And I was introduced as a character called the Benefactor. And you only hear my voice so far. You know, I'm having a good time with these people. Maybe they'll put me on camera next year. We'll see. But right now I appear as a motivator and, you know, checking up on what my minions are doing, the commander of my forces, because I'm backing them with my money, and I expect to see the proper result for this. Of course, as usual, being an actor hired to play a role, I have no idea of what I really represent, other than the a force of evil, which is often enough, you know. And tomorrow I'm actually going to be going in and doing some more of this particular role, and I think they're wrapping up the series for this year. But it's a very, very professionally produced, very tense and exciting, action-packed. And they told me, the ADR director, who's a wonderful guy named Michael, and is funny as a crutch, which is appropriate when you're doing, you know, violent television, he told us that one of the reasons why all of the martial arts that you see in this series are so exquisitely accurate and so well done is because they use a technique, and you can see this if you go online and look, kind of go to the making of Arrow. They show that the martial arts experts are actually performing the moves off camera so that the other the actors who are doing them on camera can mirror them, and that's why they have such an authenticity, and you see a lot less cutting to achieve the effect of the moves, and a lot more actual, dazzling physical action on camera, you see. It's fun to be involved with these projects in any capacity whatsoever. And the joy of doing voiceover is that you really don't have to spend endless hours sitting in your trailer waiting for them to call you on the set, and then you get all touched up again and your costume gets tweaked, they take the cat hairs off of it and everything, and then you have, you know, whatever amount of time to deliver the goods and go home and wait for the residual checks, you know. And the amount of tension that creates for an actor, because you really have to, as a professional, you want to be right on playing your game, your best game, for the time that you have in front of the camera, as opposed to doing a series where you get much more into the groove of it, much more relaxed. You're more willing to take chances. You're more willing to even make mistakes, you know, because they trust you, you trust them. You're working with your crew, your director, your other fellow actors, and you get into a groove. But for guest artists, when you step into these things, you feel a tremendous obligation to fit in and not to let anybody down, you know, and to do your part. And so there's much more tension created. Tension isn't the word I'm looking for.
Pressure,
yeah. Obligation. You know.
Obligation.
And that is why, really, actors learn their craft so well, so that they can finally, eventually get into a series, because they've learned how to jump in and do it, you know. And it's thrilling. But voiceover artists, we have an entirely different discipline that we have to approach our work with. And it's the same thing. You have to be ready to stand and deliver. But you have to do it with your voice,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's an art that you learn. You really
Absolutely.
Do learn. You learn how to take words off a page and translate them into action just with the use of your voice, and also creating a character, a different character every time. I know what amuses me and amazes me, like I had read for this part when I was in Florida. This is another great liberating thing that's happened to us. Whether you're reading for a hero part or a villain part or a cartoon part or a commercial, you can now do it from your computer. You can carry a microphone, as I do, so that it's, you know, a good professional quality. Or you can read right into the two little microphones that are built into your computer, your laptop. And for auditions, it's absolutely fine. I've even actually done jobs that way that ended up in a movie, just not even using a microphone,
yeah.
Because they can take the sound clip that they have, and they can do so many things to finesse it these days with all the equipment. You know, they can make it sound like it's in a great opera hall, or they can make it sound like it's in a cave, or on the telephone, you know, whatever they want. So it's much less important to have an absolutely perfect quality. But I read for this part while I was in Florida, and I got the part. I came back 2 weeks ago, and the next day after I returned, I had to go in to Warner Brothers onto a little sound stage and do this role. Well, naturally, when it came to the time to do the role, because I was doing other voices and things for them as well, they played the tape of what I did in the audition. And I listened to this and I said, oh, they must have gotten the wrong guy. That's not me. And the fact was that I had found this voice. I'd found this guy over numerous takes, because the ADR director, the guy who cast me, Mark Sussman, terrific guy, had asked me for three or four different takes. You know, oh, do it a little more evil this time, or do it a little more detached, or do it a little more dramatic. You know, okay, fine. So the one that they chose was whichever one I ended up doing. This has happened to me before. So it's really a challenging and fun thing to do.
I had the honor of seeing you when you were at USC doing Don Quixote with the L.A. Chamber Court. L.A. Guitar Quartet.
Four men who play as one. Really.
Oh, they're magnificent, as were you. And was it 35 characters? I couldn't believe.
Let's say it was 35, maybe 36, maybe 34. But whatever it was, being able to bring a book alive.
Oh,
you know, and to distinguish one character from another, especially when you're doing it live in front of an audience.
Amazing.
You know, and doing these changes in front of their very ears, you know, is so much fun and so challenging. Now, this part of Don Quixote, it's called The Ingenious Gentleman, Don Quixote. And the music that they play to accompany it is from the age of Cervantes, when Cervantes wrote this monumental piece. In the 16th century, I think it was, they have adopted music that he would have heard and that was being played in the court, and popular songs are being sung, and early guitar pieces, where they hadn't even named the guitar yet. I think they called it the wakakaka, you know. But anyway, these have been adopted by William Cannon Geyser, who's kind of the spoke of the wheel, let me say. And this piece was originally written for John Cleese. John Cleese had heard the L.A. Guitar Quartet perform at a beautiful theater up in Santa Barbara. And Cleese, I think, still lives up in Monterey. And he was so enchanted by them that he went back and introduced himself. And then the next time they appeared at this theater, John Cleese invited everybody out to dinner. And he said, you know, we really should do something together. And they all looked at one another and said, wow, what a wonderful idea. We'd love to do it. He said, why don't you think about it? And let me know what you come up with. And let's do it. So Bill Kanigheiser walked around and paced and thought. And he finally thought, Don Quixote. It's perfect. Cleese can do all his various voices. He looks like Don Quixote. He's tall. And he'll have music involved. And he loved the idea. So they did it. And we have just had so much fun. We've toured the Hawaiian Islands with it. We've been up in Canada to Calgary. We played the 92nd Street Y, which is another venue that I played as a young man with Harry Belafonte and Burl Ives. And it's a wonderful journey. And we do hope that we get even more bookings in the future.
Well, I understood that you were going to play your hometown, Goshen.
Yes, that is probably the most exciting and surprising thing that's happened to me in recent years. I had nothing to do with this whatsoever. Bill and the group were on the road, and they're on the road a lot because they teach master classes as well as doing performances, and they have all kinds of different concerts that they can perform. And somehow along the way, they met a woman who was booking for concerts at Goshen College. And he knew that I came from Goshen, and he thought, wow, you know, Phil Proctor comes from Goshen. Phil who? Right. Well, in any event, we got the booking. And so on March the 8th, I will be performing in my hometown for the first and probably the last time at Goshen College. And already I've gotten emails and calls and letters from my the surviving childhood friends who are going to come and see me, and my last surviving relatives, Betsy Muir Castro and her husband, and also my cousin Joey Muir, who lives in Portland, Maine, is going to come out to be there with us as well. So I'm hoping, even though I'm only going to be flying in and performing and flying out, I'm sure I'll have some interesting adventures. And as I said to my friends, I said, you know, I can always come back.
Right.
I can always fly in and spend a week in Goshen if I want to. But this is a professional engagement, and I'm treating it as such. And it'll be an opportunity to reestablish links mm-hmm. with my hometown and hopefully validate another trip back there in my later years.
Terrific. So our listeners can see you on Arrow.
Hear me on Arrow.
I'm sorry. They'll hear you on Arrow.
Yeah. Mysterious voice.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Always fun.
Phil Proctor is our fabulous guest.
Thank you so much, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Pleasure to see you again.
Carolyn Fox here to tell you about a great full-service mechanic and body shop in the San Fernando Valley. Steve's T&G Motors. My family and I have trusted our cars to Steve's T&G Motors for nearly 15 years. This one-stop auto repair shop does terrific body work, including a bumper repair special for $375, complete with color matching. Call Steve's T&G Motors at 818-347-2054. That's 818-347-2054 for Steve's T&G Motors.
You're listening to Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight. Play fresh new music and artist interviews. Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight is heard at midnight Friday in Los Angeles at 1580 a.m. and at 6 p.m. local every Saturday on the KHZTV.com network, and always playing at cfoxrocks.com. For videos, after-hours interviews, and features we can't play on the air, check out Carolyn's blog at carolynfoxrocks.com. Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight brings you what's hot in Hollywood on the air and at cfoxrocks.com.
Here's John Lee Hooker Jr. with an anthem dedicated to our men and women in uniform. You Be My Hero.
To the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, and Marines, you're fighting a country you never have seen. Fighting an enemy who kills in the name of God. Bombs and underwear, shoes and iPods. 6 months of basic training, you develop your skills. To protect us back home, you learn to shoot to kill. Whether you're in the air, water, or the ground, whatever your mission, you all the way down for your crown. You be my hero. Hero. Your mission is clear. You've just been deployed. Seek out the enemy and capture or destroy. Fight back to back and side to side. You're reminded that no soldier left behind. Hey, soldier. And killed bin Laden. I salute the families who lost loved ones. sons, hey soldier. You be my hero. Whether you're in the air, water, or the ground, whatever your mission, you all the way down for your crown. You be my hero. Hero. I'm reminded of those who died in the line of duty. The love for your country can never be refuted. I'm reminded what you did when you went to Japan, even what you did when you went to Iran. Hey soldier, I want you to know, you be my hero. You be my hero. What about Kuwait?
Carolyn Fox, and you can check out my blog at carolynfoxrocks.com. As Mae West once said, good girls go to heaven and bad girls go everywhere. Here's the lovely Larkin McLean with My Bottom's Gonna Get Me to the Top.
A wise woman told me, and I believe her, she's been around. She says my derriere drives them crazy, and I should never sit down. She says to make it, you gotta shake it. My bottom's gonna get me, my bottom's gonna get me to the top. My bottom's gonna get me, my bottom's gonna get me to the top. I live in a small town, tomorrow is the parade. And while baton twirlers are twirling, my tushy will be displayed. I'll drop it like it's hot, and you'll see me get paid. My bottom's gonna get me, my bottom's gonna get me to the top. My bottom's gonna get me, my bottom's gonna get me to the top. My love life is not a problem, he's gonna love me, you'll see. He'll be glad in my hindquarters, let him to me. I wiggle and I jiggle when I'm sure that he can see. My bottom's gonna get me, my bottom's gonna get me to the top. My bottom's gonna get me, my bottom's gonna get me to the top.
Follow us on Facebook at Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight. Here's a track from Devin Allman's brand new CD, Turquoise. There's a kind of heroism and special strength that a working musician finds out on the road. This is Homesick.
My body's weak and my mind is gone. Been on the road way too long. I need you by my side, help keep me strong. Another day goes by. I wanna go home.
sleep on an aeroplane. Leave my pocket change for the hotel maid. It's 9:45, time to take the stage. Another year goes by.
After the break, we're going to get bad with George Thurgood. The Quarter Valley Group's 40-acre equestrian facility is nestled in the hills of the Temecula wine country. We offer a facility that both you and your horse will enjoy. With complete horse care and boarding, miles of adjacent trails, 2 full-size arenas for training and warm-up, and a caring and knowledgeable staff. Barn and exterior stalls are available, and we offer multi-horse discounts. Horse owners with busy schedules can rest assured that their riding companions are receiving the best in equine care. The ranch is also available as a film location and for special events. For more information, call Dan Parks at 951-265-9674.
You're listening to Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight. Play fresh new music and artist interviews. Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight is heard at midnight Friday in Los Angeles at 1580 a.m. and at 6 p.m. local every Saturday on the KHZTV.com network and always playing at CFoxRocks.com. For videos, after-hours interviews, and features we can't play on the air, check out Carolyn's blog at CarolynFoxRocks.com. Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight brings you what's hot in Hollywood on the air and at CFoxRocks.com.
Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight is on the air every week at this time. With an ode to villains everywhere, well, at least bad boys. Here's George Thurgood with Bad to the Bone.
Now, on the day I was born, the nurses all gathered round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone, bad to the bone. Bad, bad to the bone. I broke 1,000 hearts before I met you. I'll break 1,000 more, baby, before I am through. I wanna be yours, pretty baby, yours and yours alone. I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad to the bone.
bad to the bone. Bad. Bad to the bone. Rich woman beg, and I make a good woman steal. I make an old woman blush, and I make a young girl squeal. I wanna be yours, pretty baby, yours and yours alone. I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad to the bone. Bad, 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 bad to the bone.
As our interview with Phil Proctor of the Firesign Theater continues.
I know, Carolyn, that you mentioned the Firesign Theater.
Absolutely.
And that's another, that was really the great source of my inspiration to become a voiceover actor. Because as much as I loved listening to radio and all that stuff, when I was a kid, the first thing I ever did as a professional actor was a live television show called Uncle Danny Reads the Funnies. I was 9 years old. And Elliot Gould was also on that show. And we used to kind of improvise around the reading of comic strips. But last year, almost a year ago, March 9th, we lost one of our members, our founding member, Peter Bergman, who really had brought us together on KPFK listener-supported radio in the Valley here in Los Angeles. And as a result, we're not going to be touring as much as we did before. And we're a tribute tape has been put together, tribute DVD, which will soon be available at our website, firesigntheater.com, for any of you who want to see a really extraordinary tribute that we created just out of our love for Peter up in Kirkland Arts Center in Washington. We were still a little bit in shock at his loss, but it was an amazing evening and an amazing remembrance of Peter and his incredibly intelligent sense of humor. But if you go to our website, firesigntheater.com, you will find that we also have lots of books. I just gave you as a present the Duke of Madness Motors book, which is the story of all of our early radio years and contains a MP3 of 85 hours of our early radio shows. And we're coming out with three more books this year, collections of our plays. If you want to do Firesign Theater material, you can now go to Broadway Plays, and several of our plays are now available in acting editions.
Wow.
And that's what we're trying to do. You know, we started in the 60s and we're now all in our 70s. And so we feel that we have a certain obligation to our fans and to those people who are newly discovering our surrealistic comedy, to give them something, little memories of what we've done, and keep the ball rolling.
Yes.
Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Follow us on Facebook at Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight. You know, you're never too young for villainy. Here's Electra with Problem Child.
I'm not a wild child or a sorry excuse. I'm not a wannabe. I am what you see. I'm just living down the road till I can find me. I'm not a flower child, but I believe in peace. I'm not conservative. I practice what I preach. I'm not a wannabe. You see, I'm just living down the road till I can find me.
I am who I am,
so let me be.
I want to walk on
drum beat.
I'm never gonna change.
Let it be.
I am who I am,
so let me be.
I'm not an overnight sensation or a charity case. I'm not sympathy. I can hold my own. I'm just living down the road till I can find me. I'm not a dreamer. I stand on my feet. I'm not a lost cause. I fight for what you see. I'm not a user. I give and take. I'm just living down the road till I can find me.
I am who I am,
so let me be.
I walk to my own
drum.
Check out our website at cfoxrocks.com. Anybody these days who's facing bad times, and that's a lot of folks, is a hero if they keep on keeping on. Here's Grady Champion with Tough Times Don't
Last. Tough times don't last, but tough people do. Tough people do.
I'm wondering what went wrong. Lord knows I'm trying to do my best to carry on. When the dark clouds
Vixen, thanking you for tuning in to Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight and inviting you to come back next week when we'll have a brand new show and some brand new music. Here's some very old music from Janet Klein and her Parlor Boys. I'm no angel.
Oh, come on, let me cling on to you like a vine. Make that low-down music trickle up your spine. Baby, I can warm you with this love of mine. I'm no angel. Oh, let me feel your fingers running through my hair. I can give you kisses till you walk on air. Love me, honey, love me till I just don't care. I'm no angel. I'll take your blues. Carry on, I can make it heaven where the shades are drawn.